Hello, this is Mary with the Pantograph, dated Wednesday, June 21st, 2017. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Cities Split on Felons as Members, Police Review Board's Eligibility Rules Vary, by Kevin Barlow and Maria Nagel, Dateline Bloomington. When Bloomington resident Sonny Garcia left the race for a Bloomington City Council seat in February because a felony conviction left him ineligible, he called it a systematic injustice that limits civic participation for those who have been caught up in the justice system. Garcia now is campaigning for the creation of a Bloomington Public Safety and Community Relations Board, which would be called on to evaluate public complaints about the police department and to build relationships between the police and residents. If the council approves the commission July 10th as expected, Garcia would like a chance for people with felony records to sit on the 7-member board. I am not 100% sure I would even accept a seat because I have 2 jobs and time constraints may prevent me from doing that, he said. But this isn't about me. There are others in my shoes who are in similar positions and are very capable of contributing. While final language for the ordinance still is being written, Mayor Terry Renner said Tuesday that 6 of the 9 aldermen indicated at Monday's council work session they would favor allowing people to serve if their felony convictions are more than 7 years old. Garcia, a community activist especially involved in West Side issues, would be eligible, for example, because his felony conviction for driving on a revoked license is 15 years old. Most of the language is based on ordinances in other Illinois cities with similar boards, such as Springfield, Peoria, and Urbana. They had different approaches to determining membership and whether people with felony convictions can serve. During Monday's Committee of the Whole meeting, Garcia pleaded with city officials to ease the criminal history restrictions in membership eligibility. You have the power to hold true to your value and make space for everyone to do good for our community, he said. At that meeting, Renner suggested adding a provision that board members have no violent felony convictions in their past. Some aldermen said that might not be necessary because membership qualifications already include a reputation for fairness, integrity, impartiality, and a sense of public service. Like with any board or commission, appointees would be vetted and approved by the council, said Ward 1 Alderman Jamie Mathey during Monday's discussion. In Urbana, no person with a criminal felony conviction or plea is eligible to serve on the Civilian Police Review Board, whose members must possess a reputation for fairness, integrity, and a sense of public service, according to its city code. City employees and people currently or formerly affiliated with federal, state, or local law enforcement cannot be appointed. Bloomington officials have said that no police officers would sit on the city's board. Springfield has a 7-member police community review commission, but the city's code does not prohibit those with a felony conviction from serving on it. It is not spelled out specifically, said Springfield Deputy Mayor Bonnie Drew, adding, members are chosen by the mayor and approved by the city council. What we have done is we've tried to reach out to a cross-section of our community. Peoria's ordinance for its 17-member Advisory Committee on Police Community Relations does not disallow anyone from serving on it because of a past felony conviction, said Assistant City Manager Chris Setti. But members who are drawn from across the city in groups such as the school district and the NAACP are appointed or removed for cause by the mayor with confirmation by the city council, he added. Champaign is in the process of drafting an ordinance to create a police review subcommittee of the city's Human Relations Committee. Continuing from page 1, headline, Trail to Give Students Safe Path to Benjamin. Project will connect Bloomington School to nearby subdivision. By Julia Evelsizer. Dateline Bloomington. Students at Benjamin Elementary School in Bloomington will have a safe path to walk or ride their bike to school. A 4,500-foot-long pedestrian and bike trail is being built from the Grove on Kickapoo Creek subdivision to Benjamin Elementary north of Ireland Grove Road in Bloomington. Around 60 to 80 Benjamin students live in the subdivision less than 1.5 miles from the school and ride the bus each day during the school year, said Principal Marla Spennington. Right now, the only path between the subdivision and school would be the road, said Bennington. There are no sidewalks along that road, and the speed limit is 45. It's well traveled. With no sidewalks, there's no safe way to walk to school. The City of Bloomington and McLean County Unit 5 partnered to secure a grant through the Safe Routes to School project, funded by the Illinois Department of Transportation. The trail project will cost $265,000 and will be completed by August when kids return to the classroom. The grant from IDOT covered $160,000, Unit 5 paid $20,000, and the city paid $85,000, said Jim Karch, Director of Public Works for Bloomington. The City of Bloomington applied for the grant after we heard about it and thought we qualified, so we reached out to the school to gauge interest. It was a good win-win for this area, said Karch. Bennington said the trail will give parents the chance to walk to school with their kids and allow kids to walk or ride bikes in groups. It's a healthy fitness option for getting to school, she said. It's also a great opportunity for families to access the fields and playground during evenings, weekends, and during the summer. The path is a standalone trail and does not connect to Constitution Trail. Karch said the trail will run over Kickapoo Creek and through a field that will eventually become a city park. Kickapoo Creek has been restored and is an award-winning sustainable creek system. It all ties together as an educational opportunity, a place to walk from the school, and an area that will serve as a future park, said Karch. Bennington said the prospect of a park could cultivate an outdoor learning space for the 600 students who attend Benjamin. It would provide additional learning and park activities for those who live in the neighborhood, too. The neighborhood has 1,500 lots, so it isn't huge, but being in that far southeast corner of the community, there aren't a lot of parks and things for kids to do outside, said Bennington. We appreciate the City of Bloomington for all their hard work and generosity to get the grant secured and get the path installed to provide this to our families and school. From page 3, local. Headline, County approves bike trail expansion. Longer paths to help grow Route 66 travel, connect rural areas. By Dedrick Bay. Dateline, Bloomington. McLean County's Route 66 bike trail is officially expanding. The trail, which connects Towanda to Shirley through Bloomington Normal, over 15.4 miles, will run another 3.25 miles south to Funk's Grove after McLean County Board approved engineering work on Tuesday. Expanding our trails helps connect our rural communities to our urban areas, which helps grow Route 66 tourism and encourage trail-oriented development, wrote Board Member Carlo Robustelli on Facebook. Great news! State funding will cover $160,000 of engineering. The remaining $40,000 will be split among municipalities on the trail, including $16,000 from the City of Bloomington, $12,000 from the Town of Normal, and $10,000 from the county. Once that work, which will start this fall, is complete, the county can proceed with construction of the trail section, said County Highway Engineer Jerry Stokes. If that started next year, the trail could be operational in 2019, he said. Old Route 66 stretches about 50 miles across the county, and officials envision a historic Route 66 bike trail running 370 miles from Chicago to the state line. Another local section, from north of Towanda to Lexington, is in the pipeline. Right now there's no funding on that project, Stokes said of the next section. We'll keep applying. In other business, the board approved a new set of fees for disturbances to county highways. Stokes said the change will mostly affect companies like Ameren, Corn Belt Energy, Frontier Communications, and Metronet. This allows us to charge a fee depending on what kind of construction is going on in the right-of-way for a utility or a work permit, basically covering the highway department's time for processing permits, he said. There are other counties that do this, and we wanted to get on the same page. The board also approved wage rates for public works projects as mandated by the state. Municipalities are required to pass an annual prevailing wage ordinance that specifies how much laborers will be paid for specific jobs. Board members Bill Kaisley and George Wendt voted against the ordinance. It really does bother me that we have to choose to adopt this every year, and the legislature imposes this duty upon us, Kaisley said. Headline, HCC OKs Tentative Budget, by Lenore Sabota, Dateline Normal. The Heartland Community College Board approved a tentative fiscal 2018 budget Tuesday with total operating revenues of $34.7 million that assumes the district will receive $2.35 million from the state, about 90% of what it received in fiscal 2015, the last time Illinois had a full-year budget. The tentative operating budget calls for $34 million in expenditures. Final approval of the budget will take place at the board's September 19th meeting, which will be preceded by a public hearing at 6 p.m. in room 2012 of the Community Commons Building on the campus at 1500 West Robb Road, Normal. By then, college officials will know what fall enrollment figures are and, they hope, how much money they will receive from the state, so they can adjust the final budget. Asked after the meeting what would happen if the state still hadn't appropriated money for the college at that point, President Rob Widmer said, "We certainly would not look forward to that happening." Widmer said that, in that event, the college would continue to tighten our budget and figure out how do we continue to offer a quality education for our students. "The current situation is unsustainable," said Widmer, "and sends all kinds of mixed messages as to what our state's commitment to higher education is." During the meeting, Doug Minter, Vice President of Business Services, said the lack of a state budget casts ongoing shadows of uncertainty. The district received only $700,000 in state appropriations in fiscal 2016 and about $1 million in the current fiscal year. Heartland also still hopes to receive $300,000 in state funding for monetary award program grants to students in the recently completed school year. The college credited the accounts of students who had been notified by the state that they qualified for the MAP financial aid grants. The board also approved a capital request to the state to replace pavement along certain campus roads and parking lots, which are showing premature deterioration. The college has made the same request for at least 5 years, but funding has not come through. If hell freezes over and this actually occurs, the state would give us $403,000, 75% of the cost of the $537,500 project, said Minter. Heartland would pay the other 25%. The request next goes to the Illinois Community College Board, then the Illinois Board of Higher Education, for consideration in the state's fiscal 2019 capital budget. In another matter, the board learned that the number of overall credit hours taken by students is down about 5% this summer compared to last summer, a decline of 573 credit hours from last year's 10,892. However, Widmer said there are so many variables in the summer that the enrollment drop is not an indication of what could happen in the fall semester. Headline, Connect Transit sets feedback sessions. Public can comment on route changes at June-July hearings. By Derek Bay, Dateline Normal. Connect Transit has scheduled 4 feedback sessions in July to allow the public more chances to respond to possible route changes. The Bloomington Normal Public Transit System is slated to cut Tripper and Teal routes and restructure several others this fall to save about $725,000 annually. Officials have scheduled 2 feedback sessions each week in June as well. Upcoming sessions, each set for 5 to 6 p.m., are Monday at United Way of McLean County, 201 East Grove Street, Bloomington. June 28 at Normal Public Library, 206 West College Avenue, Normal. July 6 and July 17 at Connect Transit, 351 Wiley Drive, Normal. July 11th at Bloomington Public Library, 205 East Olive Street, Bloomington. Ending the Tripper routes would cut service to outlying areas, including Danbury Court Apartments in Bloomington and Evergreen Place Assisted Living and Ironwood Gardens Apartments in Normal. Other routes affected are the Aqua, Green, Orange, Purple, and Redbird Express. Connect Transit's board plans to make a final decision on the cuts in July, and the changes are expected to go into effect in August and September. The cost savings are the first step in addressing a backlog in replacing old buses. Of the system's 52 fixed-route buses, 23 need to be replaced, but the system can afford to buy only a few per year. At a session June 7th at Normal Public Library, Interim General Manager Isaac Thorne said the system may change Connect Mobility, its on-demand service for the elderly and infirm. Currently, Connect Mobility serves only residents who live within 0.75 hundredths of a mile of a standard bus route under federal guidelines, meaning route reductions also narrow the Connect Transit service area. That distance could be expanded, however, if it offers an additional premium service at a higher cost to the rider. Michael announces re-election bid. McLean County Clerk Kathy Michael speaks to supporters at an event announcing her 2018 re-election bid Tuesday at Doubletree by Hilton in Bloomington. "It's really nice to see Democrats, Republicans, Independents, and Libertarians here together," she said. Michael, a Republican elected in 2010 and again in 2014, is the first candidate to announce a run for the office. The primary election is March 20th, and the general election is November 6th. Public safety. Crash. At least one person was airlifted from a serious crash Wednesday afternoon near Clinton that closed the southbound lanes of US 51, but additional information was not available Tuesday night. The DeWitt County Sheriff's Department and Illinois State Police are investigating. Area calendar. Wednesday. Connect Transit Community Engagement Session, 5 to 6 p.m. Uptown Station Room 409, 11 Uptown Circle, Normal. Andy and Judy in concert, 6:30 p.m. Bloomington Public Library patio. Absolute Science, 1 p.m. and 6 p.m. Bloomington Public Library Community Room, Family Program, sponsor, Golden Prairie Public Library District. Habitat for Humanity of McLean County, groundbreaking ceremony, 6 p.m., 101 West Oak Street, Leroy, for Kelly Petrovitz and her son. Home sponsors, Leroy First United Methodist Church, Leroy First United Presbyterian Church, Leroy Christian Church, 309-827-3931. Sports, Section B. Headline, Valparaiso Motivated. Horizon Co-Champs Eager to Prove Worthy of MBC Membership. By Jim Benson, Dateline Normal. Losing your star is never easy, yet Missouri Valley Conference basketball coaches believe the league can carry plenty of clout going forward. Although still listed on the league's website, Wichita State officially leaves the Valley on July 1st, headed for the American Athletic Conference. Valparaiso will take the Shockers' spot. "I don't want to talk about anyone we lost, but I would love to talk about someone we added. I'm really excited about Valpo," said Southern Illinois Barry Hinson during Tuesday's MVC Coaches Summer Teleconference. "It could look like the Wild West next year, where everyone came into the summer thinking they could win a championship. This could be one of the greatest Valley races we've had in a long time." Valparaiso coach Matt Lodich said he grew up watching the Valley as a high school star at New Trier. Lodich said going from the Horizon League to the Valley is a step up for the Crusaders, who have gone to the NCAA tournament 9 times since 1996. "The Valley, and I don't think it's a surprise to anyone, is something we aspire to as an institution and athletic program," he said. "For us making this transition and being a relatively young team, we have a lot of motivated young men who are dialed in and excited for a new challenge." Valley coaches believe it's not just up to Valpo, which went 24-9 and shared the Horizon League regular season title last season, to return the Valley to a multi-NCAA tournament bid league. Wichita State was the Valley's lone NCAA tourney squad last season after Illinois State, which shared the regular season title with the Shockers, was among the last 4 teams left out. "Adding Valpo is a great fit, but their program and everyone's has to elevate, whether it's facilities or budgets," said Indiana State coach Greg Lansing. With the leadership of Commissioner Doug Elgin and everyone helping us, I think we'll be just fine. I have not noticed anything negative in the recruiting. Loyola coach Porter Moser echoed Lansing's comments. When we talk to coaches, student athletes, and families, the Missouri Valley still carries a ton of weight and respect in the recruiting process, he said. The Valley has dropped to numbers 13 and 12, respectively, among conferences the last two seasons in the RPI ratings after peaking at number 6 in 2006 when it sent four teams to the NCAA tournament and 2007. Bradley coach Brian Wardle said the Braves and other teams that have been in the Valley for a while need to improve. ISU and Wichita State finished 8 games ahead of the third-place teams SIU and Northern Iowa in last year's standings. Then, hopefully, we have some programs invest even more in their men's basketball programs. It's investment, said Wardle. Look at Wichita and how they invested financially in their program, whether facilities, salaries, travel, recruiting, whatever they invested. You always say you have to spend money to make money. You saw Wichita State go that direction, and it really benefited them, and it paid off. You need to show signs everything is moving in the right direction as a program. Missouri State figures to be the preseason favorite in the Valley. The Bears bring back several key players, including the league's top returner in 6'9", Elise Johnson, who averaged 14.8 points and 10.6 rebounds last season. If we all have good seasons and we're all better, it will help our league and help our brand, said Bears coach Paul Lusk. Evans itching to go. Illinois State coach Luke Yaklich said junior guard Keyshawn Evans is still rehabbing after surgery in early April for a torn labrum in his right shoulder. No one wants to be out there more than Keyshawn. He loves the game and is a hard worker, said Yaklich. He's in the process of following the doctors and athletic trainer John Munn's orders. It's kind of a wait-and-see process. When he's ready, he'll be back out on the court. All the Redbird players are now on campus for the summer. ISU coach Dan Mueller is in Chicago, in Colorado Springs, Colorado, this week, serving as a court coach for the USA Basketball Men's U19 World Cup team training camp. Recovery time from labrum surgery is usually 4 to 6 months. Evans, who averaged 5.8 points, 2.0 assists, and 1.5 rebounds last season, might miss any contact during summer individual workouts before returning in the fall when practice officially begins. He's been doing very well with his conditioning and making sure he's in shape, so when he's ready to go full bore, he's ready from a conditioning standpoint, said Yaklich. Also from the top sports page headline, McGinnis Catches On with Hard Work by Randy Kindred. In the Twitter world, a single tweet often provides bits and pieces. Telling the whole story typically requires more than the maximum 140 characters. Not always. Every drill mattered. That wasn't the entirety of Brian Couples' April 25th tweet regarding Adam McGinnis, who later in the day would play for Western Illinois against Illinois State at Duffy Bass Field. Yet, it said everything about McGinnis, who McGinnis is, and why now, 2 months later, he is playing professional baseball. Couples coached McGinnis in basketball at Normal West High School. In McGinnis's 3 years as a varsity starter, Couples never saw him go half speed or three-quarter speed. There was only full speed. That was all Rich and Robin McGinnis asked of their son. My parents never forced athletics on me, McGinnis said. They just told me that whatever I do in life, to work my hardest and good things will happen for me. No matter where it's been, on the field or on the court or in the classroom, that's been my mindset. So yes, every drill mattered. This week, the drills are in Glendale, Arizona, where McGinnis, a catcher, is among newly signed players at the Chicago White Sox spring training facility. Beginning Saturday, there will be minor league games against rookie teams from organizations with nearby training facilities. It was 110 degrees Monday. The forecast for Tuesday was for a high near 120. McGinnis wasn't complaining. Passed over during last week's 3-day Major League Baseball amateur draft, McGinnis's phone rang Thursday. White Sox scout J.J. Lolley was offering a free agent opportunity. McGinnis was on a plane to Arizona the next day. After Wednesday, the draft's final day, I was a little upset that I didn't hear my name, McGinnis said. but as soon as I got the call from JJ, it turned my mood around immediately. Just the chance to continue to play baseball was all I wanted. My dream has been to play professional baseball. I'm trying to take it as far as I can. That's my next goal on the table. This is only the beginning, hopefully. McGinnis had one Division I offer at Normal West. He seized it and rewarded Western Illinois coach Ryan Brownlee with a career in which he finished in the top 10 in school history in hits, doubles, RBIs, and games played. This spring, McGinnis led the Summit League with a .355 batting average, threw out 13 of 48 would-be base stealers, and was a first-time all-conference pick. He also made the academic all-conference team and was named WIU's Senior Male Student Athlete of the Year. The latter honor required him to give a speech before the entire athletic department. "I thought I'd be more nervous," he said. "I was more nervous thinking about it. When I got in front of everybody, it felt really comfortable up there." Perhaps it was because his story can be summed up in two words: hard work. Okay, maybe three. Every drill mattered. "I'm not the most talented guy out there, I know that," McGinnis said, "but I'm willing to accept it because I'm willing to work to get to that level." Lolly must have sensed that. He invited the 5'11", 225-pound McGinnis to a pre-draft workout at Guaranteed Rate Field in Chicago shortly before the draft. McGinnis participated in similar workouts for the Mets, Padres, and Pirates. He had caught some eyes with his plays last summer for the Waterloo Bucks of the Northwoods League. McGinnis was named the Bucks Player of the Year and a Summer Collegiate All-American after hitting .296 with 19 doubles, 12 home runs, and 62 RBIs. He also won the Finest in the Field award. None of it got him drafted, but he was on the radar. Now, he's on a baseball payroll. "I'm really thankful for the opportunity and thankful for all of the coaches and teammates who have been part of the journey," McGinnis said. "Without them, I know I would not be the player I am." Mom and Dad were right. If you work your hardest, good things happen. And every drill matters. Continuing with sports, headline "Venerable Thrilled to Land Central AD Post" by Randy Kindred. Dateline Bloomington. HUD Venerable said Tuesday he is thrilled and honored to have been chosen to succeed the retiring Doug Atkins at Central Catholic High School's athletic director. Central made the hiring official Tuesday morning in a news release, with Principal Sean Foster saying Venerable's faith, compassion, work ethic, and integrity make him a perfect fit for our Saints family. He will bring a wealth of experience to our school. A University High School and Illinois Wesleyan graduate, Venerable was head football coach at Normal Community for 14 seasons as part of a Hall of Coaching career. He served as athletic director at Lincoln Way Central in New Lenox for 6 years before retiring from that post in June 2015. He and his wife Darby returned to Bloomington Normal to be closer to family. "I was always hoping at some point there would be an opportunity to work full-time again. I love working at the high school level and being around that environment with young kids and coaches. It was an easy decision for me to be part of Central Catholic. I have so many friends and connections who are alumni from Central or who have coached at Central Catholic. The tradition there is rich and deep." Venerable, 61, had planned to serve as receivers special teams coach on Norm Ishe's football staff at Illinois Wesleyan. Discussions with Central Catholic began a day after Venerable and the Titans returned June 8th from a trip to Japan for an exhibition game. "I really had thought the future was back in coaching. I was really excited about working with the receivers and the opportunity Coach Ishe had given me. It was the furthest thing from my mind that I would be given this opportunity to get back into high school athletics." Venerable had a 126-37 record as head coach at NCHS, winning the Class 6A state title in 2006. He was a head coach for 28 years in all, compelling a 219-86 record, and was inducted into the Illinois High School Football Coaches of Fame in 2008. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph, June 21st, 2017. Please stay tuned.